It's just so awesome every Sunday morning to look forward to coming to worship, and I really do. So, but before we get into any sharing here, I'd like to call on Len to give us an update on our building fund.
Exciting things are happening. This better? Okay. Exciting things are happening. We are now starting to get money in from other churches. As we reported, we sent letters to all the churches in Central Alberta. It's starting to come in. Yeah, totally good. And we send out some letters to some business people we know and some friends we know who we think might be sympathetic to what Potter's Hands is doing. And it's starting to come in. It's just crazy. Look at 32,000, but wait till I'm done here. Oh, the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Silver Lake invited Healy and I to come and speak to them yesterday morning, and we did that. And we came away with $2,200, and there's more to come, they said. Yeah, well, oh, yeah. So it's starting to really work. And how many of you were at the dinner last night? Yeah. Oh, was that a fun thing? Chris and his ladies. Chris has a harem. Well, you can read about that in the Old Testament. No. It's in the Bible. Okay, anyhow, Chris has a bunch of ladies that help him out, and he put up a wonderful meal last night. And we had an auction last night, and we raised something like, what, $3,200, $3,300 at the auction alone last night? Isn't that something? We had some people that don't attend this church came, and they helped and spent some money with us, and so it's all wonderful. Let me show you what's going on here now. We just do some things, and then God comes in and moves mountains, and it's just, and that's up in 2 months. 40,000, who'd have thought that? 40,000 bucks in 2 months. And more on the way. That's it.
That is encouraging. Man, oh man. But then, you know, this is one church where we see a ton of miracles. And as many accolades as we received for what we did last night and the people involved, nothing beats seeing another life being brought to Christ. Nothing. You know, everything else pales into insignificance. And on Monday, we were talking about that at the men's group, and we brought up Ezekiel 37. And we all know it. It's the Valley of the Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This morning, As we came in, Neil approached me and he said, "Meet my friend." And I'm a senior, and I've already forgotten your name. But he said, "She's a newbie. She just gave her life to Christ." You know, we see miracles of increase. We see dry bones being refleshed. We see the dry bones being brought back to life. And it's a life in Christ. And I've said it for several years, you know, like, it's just amazing to me that God allowed me to witness all of these changes in people's lives, you know. Dan is one. Robinson Crusoe never even had in Friday what I have in Dan. Iris. You know, you're a song that keeps going in my heart. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. So I'm going to open it up here and let you come up with some expressions of gratitude. So the floor is yours, Cindy. Barb.
Thank you.
You bet. But that's what being the family of God means, is that we support each other. When one hurts, we all hurt. And when someone needs help, we all help. Rose. Usually at the beginning. Hi, Doreen. Passage that I read, it was the word of God spoken to the dry bones that enabled the the Spirit to breathe into life into them. And so right now, I invite Jerry to come up and bring us the Word of God.
Because I'm already dealing with the pride issue. But if I'd have known that Len and Chris were going to wear shorts this morning, I might have swallowed my pride and wore my own. Yeah, just like that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for those who prayed for me this morning and prayed during the week, because without that encouragement and without that Spirit leading, it's impossible to come up here and speak unless we're led by the Spirit, unless we hear directly from God, and unless people are asking God, saying, "Help him, Jesus." And Stan said this morning at this time, he'd say, pre-praying, "Help him, Jesus." So thanks, Dan, while you're out there in Banff tiddling around. And in case, just in case, I brought my own cheering section this morning. Granddaughter Mackenzie, daughter Dina, and my dear wife. So that's good. And they've been trained over the years in that "Help him, Jesus," that's for sure. Anyway, you know, this morning, as Chris was speaking, I thought, well, you took that portion of my talk away, but I'm going to say it anyway, just to make sure everybody remembers. But what a blessing these weeks have been here. And again, another blessing. Support the new building. And that's a wonderful thing. People who probably, some aren't even Christians, but God has touched their heart. Even if you don't know it, He's touching hearts. He's touching hearts, you betcha. So I've been encouraged and blessed, and I see it happening in here with people that they're encouraged and blessed in the Sundays that have happened. All the evidence of and truth of God at work in this fellowship, and we've seen it time after time. Coming to Christ, people coming to Christ and reborn into a new life. And they have testimonies of their new lives in Christ because they're living in victory. They're living in victory. And I know some of us slip from time to time, but they're back. They're back. You know, a pastor asked me, what happens to these people that come, and it wasn't Stan. A couple of pastors asked me, you know, what happens? They come, and then they don't show up for a long time. But the positive part of that is they do show up, because God has touched their hearts, and they're drawn back. Another reason they're drawn back, and that was mentioned by Don, is that people are accepted here. People are accepted just the way they are. There's no frills, period. Just accepted the way you are. Because that's how Christ accepted each one in this room who has received him. Just the way we were. And he's seen me in my shorts and he still accepts me. So all I can say to that is hallelujah and wow. Wow. So how did all this happen? Well, it happened like this. And Stan mentioned that, oh, he preached on it a long time ago. And he mentioned it last Sunday. But see those hands there? Potter's hands. And he told a story, we told it from Jeremiah 18:1, that the potter is busy reshaping vessels that were a little askew on one side or askew on the other or bulging in the middle. Whatever is happening, he's reshaping faulty vessels into something, it says, that seemed good to him. Good to him. And that's a wonderful thing. Doesn't have to be good to me, doesn't have to be good to you, but it has to be good to him. And that's what he's doing. He's making it good to him. Wow, that's just amazing. You know, you start getting prepared for these, because I haven't been speaking that often, but you get into the Bible and you, wow, I could tell them the whole thing if we had time. But today you got a break, because I'm not going to. I just got a few that God spoke to me about. You know, And how did this happen? Well, it happened by the potter's hands. It's happening right here. We pray it's happening in other fellowships too, that people are being changed and molded. You know, God is still active today, if we'll allow it to happen, shaping people through His Son, Jesus. And we should be in worship, in love, in gratitude, because you know what He's done? He's made us ambassadors with a ministry. And I have here, and Stan talked a bit on it last week, and we agreed I could carry on this week. It's from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. There's a whole bunch of us, aren't there, that are new creatures. And some of us, even like me, look like creatures. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. So there you are, all brand new, and me too. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And we have a whole book of the word. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So he's given us that so we can go out being his ambassadors and being his ministers. So each one of you who knows Christ and me, we're ministers. We have people to minister to and encourage others to know Christ. And we'll do that by our testimonies that are given here. Our testimony is our witness. We'll do that right here, but we can also do it out there. It's not just here. Here's where we get our batteries charged. Here we get all fired up. Here we get encouraged. Here we get convicted. But it's out there where we're sent. So, is this possible? You bet it's possible. And God had that already planned long, long time ago because I looked it up. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we're not supposed to sit around digging, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he already has work for each person here who believes in Christ and knows him as his Savior, that we should walk in them. And then some from James. Good thing you're here, Mackenzie, because this is the one you phoned me about. Remember that? Yes, it is indeed. From the book of James, James 1, 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So if we just sit and just hear, nothing. But if we're doers, we're doers. We're supposed to be doing something. And then I moved on in James here to 2, 14 to 17. For what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of us says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. So, we're to move, we're to do something, we're to be people of action. And there's a calling in that, a calling from God. And there's a challenge in there. And these come from the scriptures. This is what God is saying, speaking to us. And you know what? I borrowed this from good old Chuck Swindoll. Didn't get the sermon from him this morning because he was on too early. But anyway, people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is the truth. Because we can spout scripture until we're blue in the face and people are bored silly. But unless we will do something that shows we care, then really nothing will come of it. Absolutely nothing. And we've seen lots of that happen here in this fellowship, and I'm sure you've seen it in your walk with Christ, that when you show care, people respond. The other night when we were heading out for shopping, it was ladies' Bible study night, and there was a lot of cackling hee-haw, but God was being glorified. And as I came out, there was a gentleman on the floor, and he's not well. He's sick. He's wobbly in the knees like me, only maybe even more wobbly. And there he was, surrounded by four ladies from that Bible study, picking him up, helping him up. They didn't walk by, they helped him up. Helped him up. Crystal said he was a bit embarrassed. I said he shouldn't have been embarrassed. And when did that ever happen to him, that he was surrounded by all these good-looking women and they were helping him? But that's an example. This guy knows firsthand that those ladies cared. They cared and they showed it. So, wonderful thing to see. Old Jerry here, the lazy, said,
phone the ambulance.
So bless those ladies. They certainly showed me God's truth. I found this article about 4 years ago. Shared it many, many years ago with Chris and even ladies at Loaves and Fishes. It was about servant friendship. And I'll read it to you. It's from Daily Bread. Incidentally, it was April 1st, which is April Fool's Day. And God didn't make no fools, only if we want to be. Don Tack wanted to know what life was like for homeless people. So he concealed his identity and went to live on the streets of this city. He found out that food and shelter were offered by many organizations. Sounds like greater, doesn't it? At one shelter, he could spend the night if he listened to a sermon beforehand. In the old days, they used to call that on the street, sing for your soup. He appreciated the guest speaker's message and wanted to talk to him afterward. But as Don reached out to shake the man's hand and asked if he could talk with him, the guy walked right past him as if he didn't exist. And Don learned what was missing most in ministry to the homeless in his area were people who were willing to build relationships. You know, isn't that what Jesus did? He didn't sit and say, come on over to my house. He went out all over on hoof to where people were. Nope, didn't lose my place. So he began an organization called Servant Center to offer help through friendship, Potter's Hands Ministry, and Loaves and Fishes Ministry, and the Seventh-day Adventists in the Catholic Church. What Don encountered at the shelter was the opposite of what people who heard the gospel Paul experienced. When he shared the gospel, he gave himself too. He testified in his letter to the Thessalonians, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. And the folks that we come encounter with had better become dear to us. And Jesus said, not just the pretty ones. He said, Jerry, because you were pretty ugly and somebody loved you. So it's all who come. He said, we were gentle among you like a mother. In our service to the Lord, do we share not just our words or money, but our time and our friendship? Because you can pull your wallet out and duck stuff in, but what are you going to do with the most precious gift God gave you? He gave you this time here on earth, and he meant it to be used not for me. It's not a me thing, it's a God thing, and it's for his glory. And it closes with this. Our measure of our likeness to Christ is our sensitivity to the suffering of others. And so, he told us to be sensitive to those needs. Blessed is he who considers the poor, and it doesn't necessarily mean poor in physical and financial things, it means poor in spirit too. Because there's lots out there with our Manny suits on and driving Cadillacs, and they're broke. They're flat broke. They're from empty life. Page 75, no. Page 3. You know, and God will give you the courage and faith to step out of your little comfort zone, your cotton batten zone. Now, all of us have that. All of us have that. I had to get my butterflies flying in formation between there and here and said, help me, Jesus. And he did get them flying that, right? Because people have prayed, and the only courage I got is what Christ gives me. He'll give you faith and courage to step out of that comfort zone into his blessing, because it's a blessing to speak here. It's a blessing to see what happens here. By blessing others, we will be blessed. It's in giving that we receive. So what now? So what now, you ask? Good, I'm glad you did. Everybody asked that. And Jesus had some more things to say to you. Some more things from his word. And this is from Matthew 9, verse 38. He's talking to his disciples. And he says this. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The workers are few. And that is so true, and it's been over the years, not anybody wants to go. People talk and say, well, I put money in the church, and I come every Sunday. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Yeah. And I shake the old pastor's hand and say, well done. Don't remember what he said, but well done anyway. Therefore, it says, therefore, now he's got another task. Beseech the Lord. Beseech. The Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest, because it's his harvest, and we can all be and should be workers there. And another one that spoke to me this morning came from John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. Get this adjusted so I can read through my bifocals. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, he said, so I send you. So you're sent. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So he didn't send them out powerless, did he? And he hasn't sent any of us out powerless who know Christ and have received the Holy Spirit as his gift. So there's no reason to be afraid. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each and every one who believes. Now that's power, but we don't often think about that, do we? We thought, what if they reject me? Oh dear, what will I say? Well, I tell you what. God will give you the words. He'll give you the time. He'll give you the place. And when that occurs, you'll have the words if you got your faith in him. And that's why it's important to know what his word says, because then you won't be stuck for an answer. You'll have his word and have his truth. So Jesus is calling today still, as he did at that time, for ambassadors, for ministers, for workers in the harvest. So what are you going to do about it? Will you go today, or will you sit around and wait? And I'm sure that many of you are already doing, and not many of you are going to sit around and wait.
All right. We don't know if you have this song, but it's by Hillsong. It's called Ends of the Earth, if you have it. How many people know that song? Maybe? Woohoo, Doug! Awesome. you could just listen then. This song's called, Jess, you know this song. It's called Ends of the Earth, and Jerry, it just fits so much with what you said. Thank you for that message this morning. It's about going and being in the fields.
Will it be on the open?
I don't know. But you can fake it. Woohoo! Love unfailing, overtaking my I will give the world to tell your story. Cause I know that you called me. Know that you called me. I bought for sale for good within your promise. And I won't hide it. I won't hide it. Cause Jesus, I believe in you. And I won't go to the end of the earth. To the end of the earth. For you alone are the Son of God. And all the world will see. You are God. You are God.
Whatever the reason, just don't leave this place and not acknowledge you that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now may the peace of God Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Thank you.
Promise, and I won't have